Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. And we do it every week here on WHCR 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem. It's a live radio show, but it's also a podcast that folks can enjoy throughout the week if you're not able to tune in live every Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. Shout out to all the underdogs, to my people, and the occasional Trump supporter that might accidentally have found the show. As always, you can come along on the journey today at area code 212-650. That's area code 212-650-6903. For those who want to keep it old school and talk to me. And for those who are part of the new school and also like to watch, you can go to facebooklive.com/Gregory Neesmith and you can comment and we can interact throughout the show that way. Your host, as always, to take you on the journey is Gregory Neesmith, entrepreneur, also in the spreading special stuff, and founder of the Underdog Stuff Company, and a proud Philadelphia now calling Harlem World home. And I'll be joined in studio by Asha Davis, who is on her way from BK, heading uptown to Harlem. Today's episode is called And the winner is. Because there were some elections that happened this week. And a whole bunch of other stuff that happened in the news and the culture. But definitely very top of mind for me. And I'm sure a lot of you were some of the recent elections that happened across the country. And some caught our attention nationally. I also wanted to talk a little bit about politics, along with some other topics throughout the show today, because I'm still in a very reflective mood because it's now been a year of the Gregory Neesmith Show. This whole journey, this whole experience started in November 2016. There was a test run show on November 8th, which was the election. Then there was a second test run show on November 15th of last year that was called Election Reflections, which, by the way, for those who heard last month, or I should say for those who were listening last week, you know that every Thursday, in the spirit of Throwback Thursday and in the spirit of making sure we celebrate and reflect on a year of the Gregory Neesmith Show, I will be releasing the first four episodes on every Throwback Thursday of this November. So this past Thursday released the original test run episode called Election Night 2016. And then this Thursday we'll be releasing the second ever episode of the Gregory Neesmith Show, which was called Election Reflections. And this time last year, if you leaned a little bit to the left, which means you were likely a Democrat, or maybe you were a Democrat socialist, which is the new buzz term sometimes used by Mr. Bernie Sanders, you were just a little bit stunned, in shock, still reeling from the fact that the 45th president of the United States became one Donald Trump. And so, a year later, there are some election reflections that are going on in people's hearts, minds. And this year, it's likely that if you lean a little bit to the right, you might be feeling a little disappointed or in shock. And we'll talk about that today, too. Also, in the spirit of "and the winner is," we'll talk about some of the winners and losers in the recent races that happened. We'll talk about the win, which I believe is sometimes just getting in action, which is what happened a year ago when we started the Gregory Neesmith Show. And also, we'll talk a little sports today because I love sports. And there's a couple of topics that definitely lend themselves to the whole idea of who won and who lost. But first, before we get into the meat of the show, I do want to talk about a couple stories that caught my attention this week that actually aren't about winners or losers, because in the end, there likely aren't any real winners or losers in these first couple stories. But I do want to acknowledge that there's been a lot of discussion recently about a gentleman named Roy Moore, who is a candidate for becoming a senator in Alabama as they run, I believe, a special election to replace the seat once held by the current attorney general, who is Jeff Sessions, who was, prior to becoming attorney general, was the senator from Alabama. And there's been allegations of Roy Moore having sexually harassed and inappropriate behavior with teenagers, ranging from reportedly the ages of 14 to 19, and that when he was in his 30s that he was having inappropriate behavior with some of these teenagers. And now years later, it has come to the surface that that happened. And there's been a lot of discussion of, is it true? Is it not? Should he run? Should he stay in the race? If you've heard the story, but you haven't heard from Roy Moore, I did want to play at least one clip where he attempts to address some of these allegations.
Mother, Gray, in particular.
At that time in your life, let me ask you this. You do remember these girls. Would it be unusual for you as a 32-year-old guy to have dated a woman as young as 17? That'd be a, what, 15-year difference, or a girl 18. Do you remember dating girls that young at that time?
Not generally, no. If I did, you know, I'm not going to dispute anything, but I don't remember anything like that.
But you don't specifically remember having any girlfriend that was in her late teens even at that time?
I don't remember that, and I don't remember ever dating any girl without the permission of her mother. And I think in her statement, she said that her mother actually encouraged her to go out with me.
Well, actually, there was one, a 14-year-old that was working as a Santa helper when you approached her, and when she was 16, and her mother forbade her. That was the third case. Let me go back to Korfman for a minute here, because this is the issue here. She gives specific instances where the first day you met her at the courthouse, you got her phone number.
That's Roy Moore. Kinda denying the allegations. Underdogs, let me know. Should Roy Moore get out of the race? Supposedly we live in a country where folks are innocent until proven guilty. But several women have come out and made allegations about his inappropriate behavior when he was in his 30s, when interacting with teenage girls. We still don't know what is going to happen. Should this even be a political matter? You know, I get worked up when things that are more about ethics and morality somehow start to become partisan and split down party lines. It seems that there's some Republicans who want to defend him, and there's some Democrats who want to attack him. Underdogs, let me know what you think. What should we do when something like this comes up? Because it's been coming up a lot. Obviously, the Me Too movement has been in the forefront of the news. Sexual harassment and sexual assault of women and girls is not new, but it does seem to be even more top of mind recently in the news cycle. Is this a big moment in history? Do you think that things are going to change? Because as we've talked about many times before, and this show is for underdogs, you know, my point of view has always been two of the biggest underdog groups in our country are, one, kids. Because kids come into this world with a fresh start, a clean slate. And at the same time, also dependent on the adults in their lives for the first, let's call it 18 years of their life. And sometimes as kids, we end up in some real challenging situations. And so I often want to figure out ways to fight for kids to rediscover how special they are. We've also talked about one of the other largest underdog groups in the country and also in the world are women, who seem to be constantly being under attack from men, socially, physically, economically. Is this a turning point? Should Roy Moore get out of the race? What should happen to our politicians who get brought into the daylight, some of their transgressions they've had related to sexual assault and sexual harassment of women? Also happening this week related to this topic, the Senate passed a bill that will make sexual harassment and sexual assault training mandatory for all those in the Senate. I will say I almost thought that this was somehow fake news, because you mean to tell me in 2017 there's an organization as big, as prominent as the United States Senate, and they don't have rules or regulations or training related to how to interact with each other in the workplace with something that we know is so pervasive as sexual harassment and sexual assault, especially in the workplace? But that happened this week. Folks like Louis C.K., who's a comedian, it was brought to light that he sexually harassed women that he worked with. Things are coming to light. Is this finally the big pivot, the big change where women can be safe again and no longer be underdogs related to being under attack from men? Socially, sexually, physically, economically. Let me know. I wanted to at least bring that up, given the fact that it's been in the news, and I'm sure on the mind of a lot of you underdogs out there. With that, we're going to take a quick break and then come back with the show and get into some things going on in the news and the culture in terms of election reflections, and also reflecting on the fact that this is the anniversary month of the Gregory Neesmith Show. More of the Gregory Neesmith Show. Let's get personal about the news and the culture. And also, we'll, as always, take your comments and phone calls after this break. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. And there's someone else in the studio now, especially for those who might be watching on Facebook Live at facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith. You've noticed someone else has stepped into the building.
Oh, man. Thank goodness for the New York City subway system, man. Brooklyn to BK. BK to Harlem. Holla.
And for those who don't know, and I'm sure most of them do, because she's a lady that needs no introduction, but I'm going to say it just in case, because we might have new listeners today, which is, you just heard the voice of Asha Davis, award-winning advertising executive, comedy writer, and proud Canadian.
Canadian, Torontonian, all that jazz.
Traveling all over the New York City boroughs.
Boroughs and boroughs and boroughs.
Yes. And shout out to all the underdogs and my people and the occasional Trump supporter that might come along for the ride,
right,
who have shown up today. And especially shout out to Keon, who has been posting a couple messages on the Facebook Live, and he is live from Cali.
Live from California.
Yeah, shout out to the left coast and the west coast. And he was making a comment in reference to some of the, unfortunately, very pervasive sexual assault and sexual harassment that, while we know it's not new in our society, it has seemed to have been very top of mind lately in the news and in our society. And we were talking about Roy Moore, Louis C.K., and Keon made a comment about the Roy Moore clip that I played in terms of Roy Moore attempting to kind of deny the allegations.
He said, "I don't remember." I mean, it was 40 years ago, but still.
Yeah. And I think I heard a politician put it best. An actual Republican said this, I think, when someone said, "Do you think Roy Moore should get out?" Because in the U.S., get out the election. In the U.S., we have the presumption that people are innocent until proven guilty. But as this senator said, he goes, the allegations seem to be more believable than the denial.
I mean, I tend to concur.
And so with that, I think Roy Moore might have to step to the side. And obviously our condolences and to the women who were impacted by something that happened years ago and that they've seems like been living with for a long time. And now it has been finally reported and alleged to be brought to light. And then also we mentioned before you got here that there's been a lot going on related to things coming out to light, and one in the comedic space, entertainment space. And I'm sure you might have at least some reflections or perspective, because Louis C.K. was alleged of sexual harassment of some women that he worked with, I believe at least five women. And he issued an apology, and it's been, again, it seems like every day.
Well, I think what's different about the Louis C.K. situation here, at least for me, I mean, he is beloved as a comedian. He's the comedian's favorite comedian, right? And I mean, the people that, you know, he is accused, the people that have sort of come forward with these allegations are also female comedians that looked up to him, revered him as someone in this space. And I think what's also interesting about this is that these are rumors that have been going on for years. You know, we're talking 5 to 10 years, and numerous times they've been essentially declared as rumors, you know. And Louis C.K.'s manager has gone on the record as denying them. And Louis C.K. in the past has said, you know, I'm not going to perpetuate these rumors. And then now all of a sudden he's coming out and saying, actually, everything is true. And he's apologizing for all the people that, you know, because it's not, you know, when someone cancels your show, when someone cancels your movie, I mean, it's not just you that's suffering. It's all of the production teams and all the staff and everybody that gets affected by it. And so he's lost a lot. And as a result of this, and for me, it's tough because I was a really, really big fan. And I've really been having a hard time with this one.
Yeah. And the question I've been asking the underdogs out there is this a pivotal moment? Is this the year we'll look back and we finally made a big change in this thing of men being on the attack and harassing and assaulting women, and that it no longer is something that will happen behind the scenes? It's no longer something that will be acceptable for men in power to prey on women, and in some of the cases like Roy Moore, on teenagers and girls. Is this the turning point? We thought Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas 25 years ago was the turning point. We thought Bill Clinton and the allegations of his sexual harassment and sexual assault and things like that would be the turning point. Got him elected to be president. We thought the turning point would be the Access Hollywood tapes.
Well,
and Donald Trump talking about potentially sexually assaulting women and allegations against him. And it still seems like up until now, things hadn't really changed.
Yeah.
And so we'll see. It's my obviously hope that this is the moment where everything does finally change.
It feels like essentially, it feels like it is. Anyways, it feels like at least, you know, people are feeling brave enough to actually speak up about these things, and people are getting checked at the very least.
Yes, that is very true.
Well, let's just hope this isn't like the whole quote unquote diversity thing where everybody has an initiative for 1 year and then we forget about it.
Yeah, I hope so. And speaking of that, the Senate passed a bill requiring sexual harassment training. It's 2017. I can't even believe that they didn't even have the training to begin with.
Why do you need to be trained to not harass people? Why? What? I've never had training. You've never had training, and you've never done this to someone.
I know, but they need training because they have certain rules where you go to arbitration, it stays secret, they pay out settlements. They're going to need some training because clearly the way they've been acting, it's been all wrong.
Well, you know what's funny? I actually saw something online the other day that's a little tip for how men can avoid getting themselves in these sexual harassment situations. You want to hear it?
I mean, yes. I mean, I've stayed out of those situations. But yes, for the underdogs out there, it can never be something. We should always hear some refreshers.
So it's just a little fun tip, a little fun way to avoid putting yourself in a sticky situation. If you're in a professional situation with a female, just imagine she's The Rock. It's called The Rock Test. If you wouldn't do that to The Rock, don't do it to her.
I did hear that.
So if you wouldn't put your hand on The Rock's thigh in a certain type of conversation, don't do it to her.
Fair. And I'll build on that in my own unique way, which is underdogs. This is for men. This one's on us. We get to be the ones who stop doing this because we have been the ones who've been doing it. And so oftentimes folks want to pass the blame or look and see what this person did, that person did. No, this one's on men. Like, we need to do better and stop it.
Yeah, I agree.
All right.
As the woman here. Yeah.
And when in doubt, there's a rock thing you can do too, but it shouldn't even have to come to that. All right, so with that, now we can jump into the rest of the show, which is themed and the winner is obviously we wanted to talk about some of the things going on related to the sexual assaults and sexual harassments prior to that, because that's not about winners or losers. It's just something that needs to stop. But now we're going to jump into the unavoidable news stories of the week.
Yep.
First, who won this week, diplomacy or Donald Trump?
I don't even know if I want to ask that question.
Why not? Did you don't think that that's a compelling question?
If the definition of win is who got more points, I'm gonna definitely have to go ahead and say Colt 45 got more points than diplomacy did this week.
Are you I seem to be detecting that you are apprehensive about even the fact that maybe on Trump's recent trip to Asia, that he could have been diplomatic.
I'm apprehensive at the fact that the trip was 10 days and there's no possible way that he was able to maintain for the entirety of that excursion.
But wasn't it reported in several news outlets that President Trump had been measured, disciplined, studiously scripted?
That was the case when he was going through Japan and a little bit of China, but then this weekend happened.
It did.
Yeah, as in usual Friday, Saturday fashion.
So let's highlight just one or two ways, because I want to help the underdogs figure out who won, diplomacy or Trump.
Yeah, let them make their own decisions.
And then, of course, we'll tell you out. Here's Trump in China.
Yep.
I think giving the Chinese a compliment.
Let's see.
Both the United States and China will have a more prosperous future if we can achieve a level economic playing field. Right now, unfortunately, it is a very one-sided and unfair one. But, I don't blame China. After all, who can blame a country for being able to take advantage of another country for the benefit of its citizens? I give China great credit.
Later, the two leaders oversaw the signing of various business deals.
Diplomacy or Trump? But don't answer yet.
Okay, I will not.
Was that, what's the term for when, is it a backhanded compliment?
Underhanded compliment.
And also throwing shade.
Yeah.
That wasn't very diplomatic?
I think if you have to ask if it's diplomatic, the answer to that is usually no.
All right. But that's just one thing.
Okay. That's pretty terrible. Hold on. You played the clip, but Gregory, I don't know if people are really taking in what the man just said. Just reiterate what he just said to China, which is notoriously one of the toughest countries in the world. He said, there's a lot of stuff going on right now, and I don't blame you guys. Because, after all, you guys must be pretty freaking awesome to take advantage of another country for the benefit of your own people. Round of applause for you guys.
And that other country
is America.
Insinuating that America was or is incompetent.
And has been taken advantage of by the Chinese. And after which statement, the Chinese hesitantly applaud.
But then, oh, by the way, that must mean that Donald Trump rewards and or appreciates countries that stick it to other countries.
Nicely put.
Thank you. Because we're an FM radio show. And certain words are not allowed for now.
7 seconds or less.
7 seconds or less. All right. And then the Twitter in chief.
Yes.
You can't go to Asia without obviously North Korea coming up as a topic.
Essentially.
And Trump tweeted recently about, because I think I want you to read this tweet in the Trump voice.
Okay.
But before you read this tweet, underdogs, my people, and you Trump supporters, I'll be honest. I thought this was a fake tweet. Normally I don't like to preface things, but literally I saw my timeline, a friend posted this tweet, and I literally was like, I need to go to Twitter to make sure that they actually posted something that was like really happened. And then I found out it was actually a real tweet from the real Donald Trump.
So to set up this tweet, as part of his speeches that he was giving on his Asia tour, at one point he essentially made some comments that rubbed the North Korean government the wrong way. Essentially, basically saying, in not so many words, who do they think they are? They're not going to intimidate us. They're North Korea. Blah, blah, blah. To which case, the North Koreans responded with, this guy, again, is essentially declaring war. And he's just an old dotard who is incompetent, essentially.
Dotard.
Dotard is, I think you guys can infer what other word that is related to. That is a derogatory comment. And from the North Korean standpoint, that is someone who is incompetent, an idiot, not smart, that type of thing. It's an insult.
Okay.
Okay. And so after seeing the North Koreans call him an old dotard, Donald Trump takes to Twitter yesterday morning to say, why?
Hold on.
Let me just say it. Hold on. Time out.
That's not a.
Why would?
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, my apologies.
Yeah, that was, I'm like, I can read it if you want to do it that way.
So in response to being called an old dotard, Mr. Trump says, why would Kim Jong-un insult me by calling me old when I would never call him short and fat? Oh, well, I try so hard to be his friend, and maybe someday that will happen. Exclamation point.
Underdogs, I ask you, diplomacy or Trump? who won this week?
I mean, he said he would never call him short and fat.
So while in China, it was a backhanded compliment. And this was just, you just trying to be slick?
I mean, they insulted him, but if you ask me, they didn't say anything that's not true.
This would be funny.
I'm terrified.
If the North Koreans didn't have their version of an unhinged and unstable leader.
Exactly.
Who reportedly has access to weapons that can travel well beyond North and South Korea into other parts of the world, including the United States. It would be funny if all those things were not true.
Exactly.
But again, I'm now confused because it was reported that Trump had been measured, disciplined, and studiously scripted as he picked his way through the geopolitical minefields of Asia.
Well, maybe he lost his mind after Melania left. Remember, she left after China, so he was left to his own volition for the rest of the trip. No? You don't think she could control him?
I think Trump won. Diplomacy didn't win this week.
Trump definitely won. I concur.
Which means, does that mean we lost?
Diplomacy lost.
Okay. We're still winners at heart.
This battle has been lost.
And oh, by the way, he still is being very friendly to Vladimir Putin while he was out there too.
Oh, yeah. Are we going to talk about that a little bit or no?
At least let's give some folks a little bit of context of, because that was part of the trip.
Essentially, while he was in Vietnam, President Trump met with Vladimir Putin while there.
By the way, I didn't get to turn the volume up. I had the TV on mute. And maybe you saw this. Were they wearing the same clothes? No, and underdogs, you know, I like to do my research and be ready for the show. But certain things, I didn't think that I should look up that piece of research. But I just remember thinking to myself, why do they have on the same clothes? Somebody help me.
It was matching outfits, you know, father, son.
No, maybe there was a cultural thing going on or was a part of an event. I didn't have time to actually figure out what was going on. I just remember looking up at the screen while I was doing some work the other day and I had the CNN on mute and I was just like, yo, why do they both have on blue shirts?
It was probably planned. Isn't Russia's color blue?
Trump or diplomacy.
Anyways, so essentially they met while in Vietnam. Trump met with Putin, and essentially Putin continues to deny any Russian meddling in the U.S. elections last year. And Trump says, I believe him. I believe him when he says that. And essentially he called his own intelligence agencies a bunch of hacks. For continuing to look into collusion. And then obviously when Mr. Kelly, the man that's put in charge to keep Mr. Trump in check, obviously went to him and said, bro, you can't say that. And so the next day, which was today in Asia time, essentially Vietnam time, essentially he had to double back and say, actually, I agree with whatever our intelligence agencies say, blah, blah, blah. But I believe that Putin believes that he didn't do it, is essentially the double down. So diplomacy did not win again.
I think I kind of knew that Trump was going to win, not diplomacy, but I was hopeful.
Yeah.
All right. Also, just as a quick aside, underdogs, get a passport. It's been reported that literally only a third of Americans have an active passport. So even if you wanted to go over to Asia while he was over there and tell Trump to act right, two-thirds of folks in America couldn't even go over there and tell Trump to act right.
Well, maybe if America stops locking up people for no reason and telling them that if you have a record, it's harder for you to get a passport, maybe more people would be able to go places.
I mean, we need some justice reform. And actually, we'll talk about some of that when we get to election reflections, because there was a district attorney elected in my hometown.
Philly Philly.
Yes, who's known for fighting for civil rights.
Yes.
With that, though, we're going to take a quick break. And given that Trump won and not diplomacy in this case, and it's now a year later after the election, I'm going to play a little music break.
Oh.
From the 44th president.
Oh.
Because every now and then, Obama used to sing. And he's going to be our music break. And when we come back, the other unavoidable news story of the week, the recent elections that happened. Democrats are feeling themselves. More of the Gregory Neesmith Show in today's episode. And the winner is after this break.
Hello, New York. And then to know that Reverend Al Green was here.
And that was the 44th president of the United States, Barack Obama, taking us into a music break.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah, he used to be the, you know, crooner in chief. Every now and then he'd break out and start singing.
Oh, gosh, I wish I could hear him sing right now.
You just did.
Yeah, and as president.
Yeah. No. And when there was, if the question would have been diplomacy and Obama, both were winners.
Well, they were synonymous with each other.
Yes, they were. All right. Last year, at this time, Democrats were feeling a little down.
just a touch. Just a tad. Just a skip.
A pinch.
Just a pinch.
And so it was election week this week. And I think folks were a little nervous about would things unfold this election cycle in the way they did last election cycle, which was the Republicans just keep winning and winning and winning. As Donald Trump said, folks would just get tired of winning.
Right.
And the week started off with some commotion because your girl.
Donna
Brazile.
You know what? Donna is my girl. That one I'm going to keep, yo. I like her. She was on Bill Maher on Friday. She had her purple hair. Like, do you, boo?
Donna was out here in these streets.
In these streets.
Talking.
I like her.
Talking about the DNC.
What'd she say?
I'm going to play the clip of what she said because it's important because folks were real nervous going into this week's elections, because Donna was out here talking about this.
You think this helps for the book to come out?
This is a lesson of 2016. If I released it next year, they would say, Donna, you're impacting on 2018. If I release it the fall, Donna, you're impacted. George, for those who are telling me to shut up, they told Hillary that a couple of months ago. You know what I tell them? Go to hell. I'm going to tell my story. I want to tell my story, George, because this is a story of a young girl who started in American politics at the age of 9, who continues to fight each and every week of her life. I went down to Virginia last week to kick off the canvassing campaign. Nobody paid me to do that. Nobody, I'm not on the payroll, George. I care about my country. I care about our democracy. And I say go to hell because why am I supposed to be the only person that is unable to tell my story?
Underdogs, tell your story.
Tell your story. I mean, if Hillary could say what happened, can Donna live?
folks was real tight.
Tight.
Talking about Donna needs to be quiet because she's going to mess up these elections that happen this week. We might lose the we, meaning if you're a Democrat, might lose the Virginia governor's race, might lose the New Jersey governor's race. Guess what happened?
Well, I know what happened.
The Dems won everywhere.
Good. Finally.
New governors in Virginia and New Jersey. A new progressive district attorney in Philadelphia who's committed to criminal justice reform. New York City, where we're at. Mayor Bill de Blasio was reelected for a second term. And Charlotte, North Carolina, for the first time ever, elected a black woman, B. Lyles, as the mayor.
This is so beautiful. This is a lovely, lovely thing to see. And I hope that the momentum continues.
So first, underdogs, tell your story, as Donna Brazile said. And also, for those who were worked up about her telling her story, it had no impact on the elections. Folks still came out and voted. In New Jersey, Phil Murphy became the new governor, replacing your mans and them.
Who? Chris?
Chris Christie.
A.K.A. the Michelin Man.
A.K.A. Bridgegate. He can take a bridge someplace else now.
Oh.
And Ralph Northam won in Virginia.
Yeah, Virginia is not known as being a Democratic state, is it?
Well, they're calling it now a purple state, or it's now being referred to as a light blue state.
Yo, y'all Americans and your classifications, like, get the heck out of here.
Well, it's to let folks know that it's been trending towards becoming a blue state, a Democrat state.
Well, you know what? A Democrat one. That's step one, yo.
Yes. So then just a couple of thoughts as I reflect on the election. For one, there were some things that I don't think were that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is when you win when you're supposed to win, to me, it's not really a big deal.
Right.
In Virginia, the current governor, McAuliffe, I believe his name is a Democrat. So Northam won a Democratic seat. And in New Jersey, Hillary won New Jersey, even though she lost the election. And it was expected that the Democrat would win the governorship in New Jersey.
Well, it seems like you and Daryl have very similar mind states.
Shout out to D.
Daryl has a really great comment. He says, the Democrats have no reason to be feeling good. That's rough. The real winning that has to happen is in 2018 and 2019. And it's not the congressional or presidential elections, although those are important. The biggest races are the state house races. Democrats must control at least 30 state houses by 2020 so that they can control the redistricting and flip the house for the next 10 years. Democrats have to do politics from the bottom up.
Daryl Tillman, shout out to my brother from another who, you know, we rep Philadelphia and now I also rep living in New York City. I appreciate that comment because to build on that, I don't think it was a big deal in some of the cases where Democrats won where they're supposed to win. But you know what I do think was a big deal?
What?
That turnout was high,
mm-hmm.
which is always good in midterm elections. And also, where winning happened when it wasn't expected, when you upset people, or when Democrats replaced Republicans, like the transgender candidate Donnica Rome, who became the first openly transgender person to be elected to the U.S. State House. She beat 13-term incumbent Virginia Del Robert Marshall, who once referred to himself as Virginia's chief homophobe.
Oh, wow.
And earlier this year, Marshall introduced a bathroom bill that was denied that was related to a transgender issue in the state of Virginia.
So, I mean, that's a beautiful thing, right? Like a person that fought against the rights of people of transgender has been defeated by a transgender person. I mean, I think that's irony.
It is. And when someone asked Danica to comment on what are your thoughts about the person she ran against who's been openly attacking her, she goes, I don't attack my constituents. And Bob is now one of my constituents.
I'm the captain now, is basically what she said. Look at me.
And to Daryl's point, that's a down ballot win. That's a local win in Virginia politics that will help redistricting. And it's a big deal because she upset a 13. Can you run 13 times for something?
Clearly you can in Virginia.
We need term limits. Mm. Also, shout out to my city. What is sure to be the biggest sign of change where criminal justice in Philly is a concern. Progressive Democrat Larry Krasner beat Republican Beth Grossman by more than 40 percentage points to become the city's next district attorney. He's a civil rights defense attorney who has represented Black Lives Matter. He's also sued the police department and city hall more than 75 times, and he campaigned on promises not to seek the death penalty or to bring cases that are based on illegal searches.
Well, that's a big deal.
That's a big win.
That's a big deal.
So those are some of the big deals to me, where you win where you're not supposed to, and when folks are elected who are very progressive or not the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to the underdogs who made some things happen in the elections this week, and to Donna Brazil for telling her story.
Shout out to Donna. That is the homie.
Oh, that's your people?
That's the people's thems that I'm gonna claim.
That's your man's and them?
I'ma claim those.
Okay. Shout out to Donna Brazil, who was one of my childhood heroes. And that is the unavoidable news of the week. Who won? Democrats or Republicans? I think it's easy to say
it's a draw. Oh, you just mean just from the election?
Yeah, just from last week.
Yeah, just from the elections. Because, I mean, us winning a couple of seats is not going to undo the damage of Trump tweeting about Kim Jong-un. I'll tell you that much. He won.
No, yeah.
He defeated us this week.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to. But, yeah, no, we took the L in the battle this week.
Underdogs, let us know what you think. Was this week a big deal or not? Who's winning, Democrats or Republicans? Or is nobody really winning? Or like, citizens just all losing?
I feel like we're all losing.
Oh, we got to give us some hope. All right, with that, we're going to play a little game.
Oh, I love games.
Yes, and we're going to play the game called Like or Unlike.
Okay.
Because, you know, we get personal about underdog stuff in the news and the culture, and we like using the unwords.
Like, unlike, or block.
Yeah.
Because I'm a block. I do not hesitate to press block or unfollow.
Well, social media is a big deal in our lives now. And so this segment is really like the social mediafication of stuff.
I'm going to let you get away with mediafication.
Because you know it was slang.
All right.
I didn't really think it was a word.
Let's keep going to the game.
Anyway, we're coming up at the top of the hour, and so we are going to take a quick break, play a station ID. We're going to let the underdogs and my people and the occasional Trump supporters get yourself ready, because we're about to play the game, like or dislike. We're going to actually, this really happened. I'm scrolling through my social media feed, and these stories literally come up on my phone, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Instagram, whether it's Facebook, and then I literally have to say to myself, would I like it, unlike it, or should I just block it?
Right. Although there is no unlike button, just as a FYI.
We like the unthings, though.
I know, but I'm just saying, you didn't scroll past your feed and said, do I want to unlike this? Because that's not an option.
Yeah, but, you know, it's...
It's okay. Stutter.
Well, it's all part of the...
This is our game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we made our own rules.
Make the rules.
Underdogs. If you don't like a game, create your own. We're going to create our own.
Exactly.
And we're going to take this quick break, and then we're going to come back with a game of unlike or like, because in my social media feed, I created an unlike button.
All right.
More of the Gregory Niesman Show after this break.
Mic check, mic check.
Keep it locked on WHCR 90.3 FM.
Okay.
New York.
Like, unlike, block. Like, unlike, block. When you come around my way, you gotta stop. If you on my block, WHCR. WHCR 90.3 FM. We on Underdog Stuff with Gregory Neesmith. Lots of letters, and you know we about to get into the game right now. I said it. Like, unlike Block.
Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we freestyle sometimes. Well, actually, Asha freestyles, and I get to like be the like beatbox, and
I like the
I'm the hype man.
I like that.
Like Flavor Flav over here.
Split Star.
Yes.
Split Star to the Buster.
Who's Cameron's hype man?
Jimmy and Jewels.
I don't know if they would like that.
That's what I'm saying. but they would agree, because Cam is the leader. Like, none of them think they're better than Cam, because it's Dipset. Cam taught everybody.
People might know them and call you right now.
And they would all agree. Everybody knows.
Eric code 212-650-6903. The views expressed by Asha Davis are not necessarily those represented by Gregory when it comes to hip-hop and Cam'ron.
I love Jimmy. He would never disrespect Cam, and neither would Jules.
Bowling! It's time for a like, unlike. Dipset.
Ow.
All right, so I'm scrolling through my feed, and this is the first story that came up.
Like, unlike Block. Okay.
So I read the title, and it says, federal report on human-caused-related climate change. There is no convincing alternative explanation.
I mean, that seems pretty much a fact.
Like, unlike a block.
I mean, I like that. That is true. I don't know why they need to waste money on more reports. This is an unequivocal fact.
I'm just saying. It seemed like new news to me. The reason why I actually did like it is because it came out from... It was reported from the U.S. government from 13 different agencies as part of a congressionally required national climate change assessment. And the crazy thing is that this came out from the government while Trump is the leader of the government.
Right. But this was a report that was sanctioned prior to his, and they actually tried to cancel it. And the agency said, no, we're doing it.
And I'm glad they didn't, because the assessment concludes, based on extensive evidence, that it is extremely likely that human activity, especially emissions of greenhouse gases, are the dominant cause of the observed warming since the mid-20th century. For the warming over the last century, there is no convincing alternative explanation supported by the extent of the observational evidence.
Yeah. Like, basically, in a nutshell, humans are causing climate change by pollution. Full stop. 2017. We've known this for 50 years. Hello.
But the White House said,
sorry,
the climate.
Kiss my teeth like a Jamaican.
I know that was very good. I haven't heard that sound in a while. People, underdogs, whenever you hear that sound, somebody's really not believing you at all. It's not a good sound when you hear that sound. But the White House said that climate has changed and is always changing. And it pointed to portions of the report about the uncertainty around the Earth's sensitivity to greenhouse gases emissions. The White House is like, yeah, the climate's changing, because the climate always changes.
Right, but we're talking about the speed at which the climate is changing, which is exponentially faster than it's changed at any other time in history, which is unequivocally linked to human pollution activities that are corroding and eroding our atmosphere and our oceans and melting our glaciers, which is causing the world to heat up.
Underdogs. If you were scrolling through your feed.
Like, this is insane. I dislike the White House trying to say, nah.
And you saw the title of because people send out different articles. And if it said federal report on human-caused climate change, would you like, unlike, or block? Asha would like it. I would like it. Trump would block it.
You know what? I'm just going to go to Daryl, who says that 2017 will be the third hottest year on record. just as a FY, you know what the first and second, you know what the first and second were?
What were the first and second years?
Basically last year and the year before.
That ain't good.
I can't with these guys, you know?
Okay. All right. So got it. We're going to like it, but Trump will block that article. All right.
FYI, Keon says he be loving the freestyle, so I'm going to keep it up.
Yep, please do. And I'm going to continue to be like, oh, hey. And make sure the sound is right. All right. The next, I'm scrolling through my news feed, social media feed this week, and then this article pops up. And the title of it was, and we're going to figure out whether you would, I would, like, unlike a block, Walmart to pay $7.5 million to man injured by a watermelon. Let me repeat this. I'm scrolling through my social media feed.
What ethnicity is that?
I'm scrolling through my social media feed. I saw the climate change thing. I was like, oh, well, you know, let me look at that. And then the next thing I see is someone posts an article that says Walmart to pay $7.5 million, not watermelon, $7.5 million to a man injured buying watermelon. First, I thought it was fake news. You know how some of your friends post stuff, you're like, they need to check the website that they're posting stuff from. Or like, why did they even think that this was true? But I clicked on the link. It was from a paper I'd never heard of. So then I literally Googled watermelon and millions of dollars in Walmart. And then an article came up in the Huffington Post and Fox News. I was like, oh, snap, this is real.
Wow.
And by the way, watermelon is my favorite
food. What ethnicity was the person?
I'm not sure because it says
for me that plays a role in my assessment of whether I like, dislike, or block.
Hold on, you don't like somebody getting $7.5 million?
I would like to know if it was a black man who finally made a come up off some watermelon. Because remember the comedian that made millions of dollars from smashing watermelons? Was that a black person?
Gallagher.
No, it was not a black person. He stole black people's stuff and made mad money. So now if it's not a black person that's getting paid millions of dollars, you know how many black people been injured by watermelons? They ain't never get 7.5 mil, but if it is a black person, I'm gonna go ahead and like that, share that.
Underdogs, would you like, share, or block? As I looked into the story, an Alabama jury has decided that the Army veteran who broke his hip while picking out a watermelon at a Walmart store should receive $7.5 million. It's retired Sergeant Henry Walker. He was 59, and in June of 15, when he went shopping at Walmart in Phoenix City, Alabama, Walker reached for the watermelon. His foot got stuck in the side of a wooden pallet under the display, and that led him to fall and shatter his hip. And that's what happened.
Well, we've got two likes and potentially a third once I find out the ethnicity.
Separately.
But I do like the fact that it was a veteran. You know, I do stand with the veteran.
And speaking of that, yesterday was Veterans Day.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously our salute and our appreciation to all the veterans who are both alive and who have served.
Yeah.
And obviously our prayers and much respect for those who gave their lives to fight for this country.
Yeah.
And we appreciate all the veterans out there. And am I going to like this? $7.5 million is a lot of money.
Daryl wants to know. Oh, yeah.
This should be like a fourth button. Like, I'm just going to keep it moving. But no, I'm gonna like it.
You're gonna like it. All right. So we got no dislikes for the watermelon and no blocks. That's good.
No. So all right. The next story. This is for all my sports fans out there. Do you know who Tony Romo is?
Yes, I do. He's a Dallas Cowboys quarterback.
And do you know who Deion Sanders is?
Oh, one of the best Dallas Cowboys of all time, Neon Deion.
Prime time.
Prime time.
Who also played for the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, yeah, later on.
Yeah, he ended up winning a Super Bowl with both the 49ers and with the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go.
Yes. And so I'm scrolling through my social media feed,
mm-hmm.
and you know how people post videos. And there was this video that was posted that I had no context. I'm just like scrolling, and it's like Tony Romo and Deion Sanders. And this is what happened. And let me know, are you going to like, unlike, or block?
Ian, I don't know if you know this. You made the broadcast on CBS. On the big one. Uh-oh. Here, give a listen.
Peters doesn't want to tackle. That's one of the things I'm telling you. He's really good out there at the corner off coverage, but in tackling,
not his thing.
No, and he makes Deion Sanders look good at tackling sometimes.
See, Tony, I tried my best to take the high road, but I don't know the address to the high road. So I got to come at you, man. You 10 years as a starter, you're 2-4 in the playoffs. You ain't won nothing. I tried to bury the hatchet. Both of us work for CBS. I went and shook your hand and say, Tony, you're doing a great job this year. I thought that would be it. But nevertheless, you keep on shouting at me. Tony, what's going on, man? I got a gold jacket that I didn't buy. Dak says hi. And bye. Tony, leave me alone, man. I got a lot of ammunition, man. How many interceptions? 19 in 2012? Come on, man. You threw to everybody but me. Tony, come on, man. You know you never won the big one. So stop, man. Leave me alone. I tried to take the high road, but I don't know the address. All right.
Yo, that's my new favorite line. I tried to take the high road, but I don't know the address.
I can't put it in Uber if I don't know the address.
I went into my Google Maps looking for high roads and I couldn't find it. Michelle Obama must say, when they go high, we go low. Deion says, I don't know the address. Can't find it.
I'm only take the roads I know.
My signal's low. I can't access my maps.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm super liking this one. I love some good trash talk.
Oh, that's funny. Super liking it like it's a hot girl on Tinder.
I mean, the line is priceless. And then he goes at him with actual facts. Like, trash talk with facts is like, and then sprinkle in the high road comment.
Yeah, that's hot. Daryl has a great comment on Facebook Live. He says, Primetime lit into Romo. I loved it. Primetime was right. There are only 305 Hall of Famers. Deion is one of them. Romo is not. And never will be. Deion was great. Tony was good enough to keep you into the game and bad enough to lose it for you. Yikes. The man said he got a gold jacket that he didn't buy, yo. That's rude.
And then he rapped. He said something about something says hi. Dak says hi, who's the quarterback that replaced him, and then says bye.
Ouch.
He rhymed, dissed, and gave us a phrase that I'm like, I'm going to have to figure out when and where can I use. I wanted to take the high road, Asha, but I can't find the address.
The next time that somebody comes at you with some foolery, You know, the previous me would have taken the high road, but the new me don't know the address, so here's the deal. Yeah,
my Wi-Fi ain't working. I can't find it.
That's funny.
Prime time. With that, though, I'm still not watching football, but that clip was priceless.
That's hard not to watch football during this time of year. Isn't this like big for football with like American Thanksgiving coming up and all that?
Yo, I'm not sure what I'm gonna do. Like, I saw one of my boys post on Facebook that he also was boycotting the NFL. Mm-hmm. And then he said his dad came over and turned the TV to the football game. And he was like, I guess I'm gonna watch a football game. Like, this man has like worked his whole life. He's my dad. Like, if he wants to watch the game, he's like, I guess I'm just gonna sit here and watch the game. And I started thinking, ooh, I'm about to go home for Thanksgiving and it's gonna be 3 football games on. And I know my dad's gonna wanna watch the game.
You might, I mean, it's about family. What's more important to you, spending time with your family, watching the good old game, or standing with Cap?
I mean, the show's like Who's the Winner is on that Thursday. Family is going to win.
Exactly. Even Cap would say, to hang out with your daddy.
Yeah, family's going to win.
Exactly.
And shout out to my friend who had that same experience where, guess what? His dad won. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm going to sit here and watch the game with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
All right. With that, underdogs, let us know if you would like, unlike, or block Tony Romo and Deion Sanders. And if somebody comes at you and you want to go get them, just let them know your Wi-Fi and your phone ain't working and you can't put in the address and you can't find the high road. You just can't find it, so you're going at them. With that, more.
Just tell them you got gold jackets that you ain't buy, yo. Because that's what I took out of that. Like, son, I ain't have to buy my gold jackets, right? I won.
With that, today's episode, and the winner is, and clearly Deion was the winner of that one. We're going to take a quick break and then more of the Gregory Deesman Show. Let's get personal about the news and the culture after this break.
Okay. Unjust, I just ride. Unjust, you just ride. If you unjust, I just might. Fight ya, cause I don't know where the hot road is, son. Hey!
Yo, I just don't know. I can't find the address. Shout out to Deion Primetime Sanders. Underdogs, I wanted to take the high road, but I can't find the super like.
But we doing unjust, a just right, yes. Unjust, or just right.
Today's episode, and the winner is, and Deion clearly won that back and forth with Tony Romo. And speaking of sports, our unjust or just right story has to do with sports.
Mm-hmm.
And a part of the world where our president was earlier in the week.
Yeah, we were talking about China, yeah. Asia. Yeah.
Yes. So there were some folks balling or not balling.
Well, they were out there for ball.
Yes. And then a whole lot of stuff started happening. Mm-hmm. So LiAngelo Ball,
mm-hmm.
who is the younger brother of Lonzo Ball.
Yes, he's the youngest of the Balls.
Yes.
Yes, that's their last name, Gregory.
Yes, I know.
There's no need for 7-second delay.
And their father is the famous, and some would say infamous, LeVar Ball.
Some would say best dad in the world. Some would say worst dad in the world.
Yes, it is definitely, he's a polarizing figure. With that, LiAngelo plays for UCLA,
mm-hmm.
and he's a freshman,
mm-hmm.
and they're playing a game over in China,
mm-hmm.
or were. They have played the game. And leading up to that, LiAngelo and two other teammates were alleged to have shoplifted some sunglasses.
They were caught on camera stealing sunglasses from the Louis Vuitton store that is in the Hwangju Mall just adjacent to their hotel.
And that sounds like it might be a big deal. But let's hear from LeVar, who was being questioned about this earlier in the week when it happened.
Yo. LeVar, do you have any update on LiAngelo?
No, man, I ain't got nothing. Yeah, I'm going to wait till I get some more intel on what's going on, then I'll let y'all know what's up.
Do you have any concern, or do you think everything's going to be okay?
Yeah, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. Everybody making it a big deal. Uh-oh.
It ain't that big of a deal, according to LeVar Ball earlier this week.
Yikes. Well, I can tell you, I've been to China. I've actually stayed in the hotel that they were staying at. I've been to that mall that they're in. It's like a very luxurious mall.
Yeah,
my dad was working in China for a bit, you know, he had me come out there. But yeah, and I could guarantee you that 3, 6, 5 plus black guys walking into the Louis Vuitton store in that particular mall are absolutely going to get followed and going to get targeted. So of all of the places that you thought that you could just inconspicuously walk out of a store, that is not one of them.
That is a fair point. And to LeVar's comments earlier in the week that it's no big deal, it feels like a big deal to me that the UCLA team is flying home to America and LiAngelo and the two other gentlemen with them are not.
No, they are not.
That feels like a big deal to me.
Kind of feels like, well, to be fair, at the time that LeVar gave that statement, he didn't know that yet. Like, this is all new news that's unfolding.
Yes.
Yes. So LeVar may have thought they would have gotten off with a slap on the wrist.
But it's reported that the likely punishment is going to be 20 days house arrest.
20 days house arrest.
And that they will be banned for life from returning to China.
I mean, that may not sound like that. It may sound like they kind of got off, but I'll tell you, first of all, 20 days house arrest in the hotel that they're in. So now they got to pay to basically stay at the hotel for 20 days. Two, a lifetime ban in China. Now, maybe for LiAngelo, whose family has money and whatever, and maybe he might get to the league, cool. But for those other two guys, where China is one of the top places that people go when they play international basketball.
Starberry.
Basically, what you're doing is you're now limiting your options of where and how you can play basketball. Even if those other guys make it to the NBA, what if the Olympics one year is in China again? Then that means you can't go to the Olympics?
Yeah, those are all very good points. Stephen Marbury of a New Yorker and one time New York Knickerbocker has become like a legend playing ball over in China. And to your point, that is a place where there's also a lot of people. So in terms of business deals, doing things, appearances, a growing economy, it's a big deal to not be able to go to China ever again.
And I've been corrected. LiAngelo is actually the second child. He's not the baby. LaMelo is the baby. So my bad to the birth order there. And we have another comment from Facebook Live.
Okay.
This one's from Daryl, who has two thoughts. One, what was the UCLA basketball team doing in China on the 4th of November? Don't they ever go to class?
That's all. I gotta respond to that. I think one of the biggest like travesties is that we have this thing called student athletes. When you play big time Division I basketball or football, I actually think it's more like athletic student. To this point, shouldn't they be in class? think about throughout the week when you can turn on ESPN and watch a college football, college basketball game. It's like a weekday, like they have school.
He says, my goodness, I understand college sports is a big time scam, but try to fake it a little bit, please.
No, they're not faking it. It used to be in some leagues that your basketball games only happened on Fridays, Saturdays, or Sundays. Now, of course, they happen throughout the week in random locations, and it's an excellent point.
And so that was his first thought. The second thought is, I won't kill these players for youthful indiscretion. We've all done some things at that age that we'd like to take back. However, I can't think of five worse countries to commit that crime. The Louis Vuitton store on Rodeo Drive is 20 minutes from the UCLA campus. Go shoplift there if you want to shoplift. Shaking my head.
Yeah, and what I appreciate about Daryl's point too is, actually, it reminds me of this story. I used to go to church a lot when I was in my 20s or 30s. And the pastor came in and he was talking to some women. It was like in one of the recreational areas. And the women were like literally, in a way, gossiping or talking bad about some of the younger people in the congregation.
Yeah.
And the pastor goes to them, y'all acting like and forgot that y'all weren't always saved. Y'all haven't always been these goody two shoes. And what I love about Daryl's point, which is, yeah, we've all been teenagers before. We've all done some things that are a little that we would regret or wouldn't want to do again. So let's not come down too hard on them for what happened. But obviously they get to be punished. They obviously hopefully will be remorseful about it all. They'll serve their punishment and then be able to move on.
You sound like you found the high road. I'm with Keon, who comments.
I found the address.
I'm with Keon, who says, wait, stealing in China? Who does that, fools? I'm with him, yo. I'm with him. I cannot find the high road in this conversation because, yes, we've all done stupid things, but being on a school trip to China, sorry, see my Jamaican accents coming out because that's crazy. China is not the place, kids. It is not.
No, it's not. And they will thankfully have their lives and get to learn this lesson and live on. Because, of course, we've seen other students in some other countries actually do something and be killed or held for long periods of time. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Shout out to Keon. Shout out to Daryl. And I think this one turns out to be just right.
In terms of the punishment?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's not, I think the punishment, I mean, they being banned for life from one of the superpowers of the world as a country is pretty harsh for stealing some sunglasses, but you knew what it was.
Yes. And lastly, I saw there was some info about LeVar Ball was going to hold a press conference this week.
Oh, yeah.
But was convinced not to because he could potentially upset Chinese officials and worsen the situation.
Exactly, because for those who also watch sports, I do watch basketball. I do like basketball. And so this week, the ball that's on the Lakers, I can't start like that.
excuse Asha for a second. Let me jump in here. Lonzo Ball, who plays for the Lakers and is a rookie in the NBA, has been off to a rocky start, but there's a lot of potential there. So you were talking about Lonzo Ball.
Well, Lonzo was the youngest player to get a triple-double this week. And so they wanted to do, and so there was like some, oh, you know, obviously LeVar wants to do a press conference and talk about a bunch of different things, but he was obviously convinced not to do that because he could he could have agitated Chinese officials who may have made the punishment harsher for the boys. But also, you know, Trump was there in China when this was going on as well. So certainly wouldn't anything that he did would have gotten to China and also affected, you know, diplomatic goings on and such.
I wish we could convince Trump not to give some press conferences every now and then because he can worsen some situations too when he gets behind a mic.
Oh yeah, whoever's controlling LeVar should get the job to control Trump. That's a good idea.
Yes, let us know your thoughts on whether the punishment fit the crime and whether it was just or unjust. With that, we're gonna take a quick break. And when we come back, time for Unlisted. And as always, more of your Facebook Live comments or your phone calls at 212-650-6903. More of the Gregory Neesmith Show after this break. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. Shout out to the underdogs, to my people, and the occasional Trump supporters that accidentally find the show. I know some of y'all Trump supporters may not be feeling too good this week after some of those L's this week in the recent elections, but you know, we'll see what happens in 2018. With that, today's episode, and the winter is.
Yes, it sure is.
Winter's winning too, because it's cold out these past couple days. Speaking of climate change, a lot of swings in the climate. But anyway, and shout out to the just punishment for LeAngelo, and we wish him safe return to the United States, as we were talking about what happened to the Ball family out in China, which Asha visited to China.
Yeah, spent 2 weeks out there.
Underdogs, get your passport so you can be like Asha and travel the world. All right, Unlisted, where we take a look at a list out there and we either embrace it, critique it, or a little bit of both. And this week, the Unlisted, and actually this month, the Unlisteds have been in the spirit of looking back, because not only is it a time where we look back as a show because it's our 1 year anniversary this month, but we also look back because it's my birthday in November. November 22nd is coming up. So always a reflective time for me to kind of look back at life.
Go shorty, it's your birthday. You're going to party like it's your birthday. You're going to sip a cotty like it's your birthday. Because we don't give up. It's not your birthday.
Yeah.
7 seconds.
Yes, thank you. Because if you did that, then I don't know the address.
We're going to have a ball. It's your birthday.
We're going to party like it's your birthday. All right. So this week's Unlisted is a list I came across called 11 Iconic Moments from the 90s that have shaped our generation. Mm. The 90s. For me, the 90s, I was age 15 to 25. I started the 90s in high school at 15 and ended the 90s at 25, living in the New York City area.
Nice.
Yes. And it was a decade to me that I think of as the height of hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
It was also a time when things about being single felt dangerous. There was the HIV epidemic became very widely known. Guys like Magic Johnson announces that he has HIV and he's leaving the NBA. But then it was also seemed like the decade where being single became popular too, because of some of the things you saw on TV and shows that were popularized. So for me, the 90s definitely shaped a lot of my life. And also for me, it's probably my most enjoyable decade of my life so far.
Hmm.
So yeah, the 90s mean a lot to me. Now, do the 90s mean much to you? I mean, we're different ages.
Yeah. I would say, you know, the 90s is definitely the culture that the time that I revere in terms of, to your point, music. You know, the decade that I most go back to listening to old music from is certainly the 90s. Definitely, you know, I remember the TV shows that I loved, whether it was Saved by the Bell or Seinfeld. A lot of those are from the 90s as well. So definitely have a lot of heart for that decade. I would say, you know, mine actually seeps into the 2000s a little bit. Like, I love 3-6 Mafia. So it's like the 99s to the 2000s, you know? So I kind of slip past the 90s and when I'm at.
Okay, fair enough. But the 90s, you have some love for the 90s.
I have a lot of nostalgic love for the 90s.
All right. Well, this article talked about 11 key moments. We won't talk about all 11, but we'll highlight a couple of them. One, the World Wide Web launches and the information age arrives.
Mm-hmm. We're the last generation born before the internet existed. We're the only generation that saw it come to life.
We definitely did. And Underdogs, while you're going along on this journey with us, let us know some of your memorable moments from the 90s. I remember, I think it was 94, was the first time I got email.
Oh, and what was it?
It was Andre Smith 007 007 at hotmail.com.
Who's Andre?
So this is the thing.
No, uninhibited's coming early. What was the fake name that you told?
No, so this is the thing. The web and email was this new thing, and I remember it came out. It was like, you can sign up for this thing called Hotmail. And this is me being a bit of a naive teenager. Hot to me meant like stolen. Like, it wasn't legit. And I was just like, yo, this thing doesn't, I don't know how legit this thing is. So I'm not going to use my real name.
I thought you were going to say you thought Hotmail was like sexy guy.
No, I thought it was like hot, like stolen. Like, so I'm like, yo, this could be some scam. Like, I don't really know who knows who Microsoft is, like Hotmail. Like, why they call it hot? Like, this just sounds like a setup. But I'm like, yo, people are trying it, so I'm going to try it too. And so Andre is my middle name. Smith is part of my last name. I just chopped off the N-E, so the Neesmith became Smith. And then one of my favorite movies was James Bond, 007. So I was Andre Smith, 007 at hotmail.com. That
ridiculous. Although mine was also Sexy Douglas at hotmail.com.
You have no say now in this guy. Like, you literally... You should just retract we should rewind the last 3 minutes and start over, and you just go, oh, that's awesome that your name was Andre Smith at 007. We should start over, because your name was what? Your first email? And Underdogs out there, what was your first email handle? Because a lot of y'all got some email handles that you wouldn't use on LinkedIn today. What was your first?
Oh, sexy.dougla@hotmail.com.
I would take the high road.
But I don't know the address. I would take the high road, but I don't know the address, so I got to take the side road.
I don't know the address.
Take the side road to the high road.
All right. Another big moment.
A Dougla is a half black, half Indian person in Trinidad. That's what that means. Anyway, so the second thing about the 90s, sorry, Keon says 93 to 98 was the ish, so we got some love there.
Thank you, Sexy Douglas.
Stop, I hate you.
I would take the high road, but I don't know the address, Sexy Douglas.
Okay, Andre 007.
That's Smith.
To you.
Smith.
Okay. Trisha Smith says y'all are killing her, yo. Speaking of Smiths, thanks for tuning in, Trish.
Appreciate you. Shout out to, speaking of the 90s, one of the things I was doing in the 90s, I was at college where Trisha, along with some other underdogs out there, we all met and would be lifelong friends. And you meet a lot of folks in college that you end up knowing for the rest of your life. So shout out to the 90s and to Trisha and to all the folks from UPenn in Philadelphia. All right, another big moment that happened, the Rodney King verdict and LA riots tear the nation apart.
Yeah.
And I think we all remember the can't we all just get along?
Can't we all just get along?
And fast forward to today, the answer would be no, unfortunately. And obviously very memorable case where Rodney King was beaten brutally and it was caught on videotape. And this was during a time where we didn't always have camera phones and things like that. So it was a big deal to see it on tape, and people thought things would end differently than they did. But unfortunately, a subsequent trial where those officers were found innocent, and that would then ignite some of the riots.
It's funny that that was in the 90s, and yet it's still so relevant today.
Yeah, it's like literally just put in different names, and the content, the situation continues to plague us.
And unlike, you know, now the only difference is then it took a dude walking around with one of those huge handheld video cameras to capture what happened to Rodney King. Whereas now, you know, everybody has a video camera in their pocket. So we're seeing it more and more. Yeah. Not that it's happening any differently, I don't think, anyways.
No, unfortunately. And then speaking of trials, another big moment from the 90s, I can't believe it was so long ago. O.J. Simpson chase, trial, and acquittal.
I mean, again, talk about still relevant today, right? O.J. just got out of jail.
He did. If the glove don't fit, you got to acquit.
I mean, he did get acquitted from that, but, you know.
Yeah, that was, and I think for me, what I remember too is, it was, I don't want to know if I call it reality TV, but I remember it feeling like it was the first time, at least in my life, that trials were like on TV. Mm-hmm. Like they actually broadcasted the trial. Like it became like tabloid reality TV and everybody watched. And then when the verdict was announced, there was parts of the country that were like disappointed and like frustrated. And then other parts of the country were like cheering as if like we won a prize for OJ being acquitted. It was.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting because too, I remember, you know, coming home from school and, you know, the babysitters would have the, you know, O.J. Simpson trial on. And before that, it's like, you know, soap operas or cartoons. So like even the kids, like it was definitely for me what I remember the first time being so exposed and people actually answering my questions when I was like, why are you guys watching this for so long? You know?
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Another moment from the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of talked about this earlier in the show too. Bill Slick Willie Clinton.
Why you gotta call him Slick Willie?
That was one of his nicknames. And fast forward to today, we got politicians still crossing the line related to sexual harassment, sexual assault, along with the other things that they do as politicians. But Bill Clinton was a memorable figure from the 90s. And also, I remember the phrase like, first black president was like one of the slang titles mm-hmm. given to Bill too.
Yep.
And now hindsight, now being older, like how disrespectful was that? Like he was not the first black president.
Not, I know.
And we would come to, you know, eventually have the first black president be Barack Obama, the 44th president. But crazy. Bill Clinton was definitely obviously a memorable moment from the 90s. Also Seinfeld, Friends, and the new American sitcom about single people.
Yes.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Because a lot of sitcoms had families.
Like husband, wife, kids.
Yeah. And Friends and Seinfeld became some of the first popular sitcoms where it was about single adults who were past the age of like they should quote unquote have a family.
And fast forward again, talk about still relevant today. Millennials are taking longer and longer to have kids and get married. So I guess we learned from Seinfeld.
They were ahead of their time or right on time or part of the cultural movement. Also, another big moment from the 90s. And underdogs, let us know some of your memorable moments from the 90s. Remember Napster and the rise of digital content? Napster, getting that free music. it was something that eventually would later become problematic because of copyright issues and things like that and pirating music. But they were probably one of the people at the forefront of people wanting to get music digitally.
Napster, LimeWire, we all got a couple of viruses on our PCs from those programs, I would say.
So you used to use Napster?
Going to our Facebook Live comment.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, you talking real.
Keon says right that. Keon says that the reason that these are still relevant is because nothing changes. This is America.
Well, there is that saying that only the names change, the stories stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
And for better or for worse, and sometimes for worse, a lot of these stories have stayed the same and only the names have changed, which is unfortunate. With that, though, there is one of the moments from the 90s that I wish that the content and the faces would have kind of stayed the same is rap music.
Rap.
The 90s were also memorable for rap music, and the new hip hop sparked debates over race, class, and censorship. It was considered the golden age of hip hop.
I agree.
And I don't know if that story stayed the same right now. I don't know if this will be considered the golden age of hip hop right now.
I think people like Chance and Kendrick are definitely speaking to the new generation, for sure.
They are.
And I definitely think they are carrying the torch. People like J. Cole, definitely.
And maybe they'll carry the torches of the Dr. Dre and the Chronic.
Yeah, well.
Or Snoop Dogg and Doggy Style.
I mean, Kendrick.
Tupac and All Eyes on Me.
Again.
Notorious Big I.G. Ready to Die?
Did you say Notorious Big I.G.?
Notorious B.I.G.
Okay.
Ready
you
to Die?
You could just say Biggie.
I could. Or Christopher Wallace.
Dale had a good comment that you, because you were talking about Clinton being president and sort of his story being still relevant. And I think this is a great comment. He says, when Clinton was president, no one thought it was possible for a black person to actually get elected. And that's in the 90s. So what I'm glad that has changed,
yeah,
is that that notion has changed. That now in 2017, regardless of what we have in the White House now, at least we know what's possible.
Very, very well said. It is still one of the obviously most memorable moments, at least for me personally in my life, was election night, November 2008. And shout out to the 90s.
Well, and also in the 90s, there is a sad side to it, as Facebook Live has pointed out. Shout out to Daryl, who says that in the 90s could also be known as the dark days of hip hop, because as much as the things we loved, we also lost. We lost Biggie, lost Tupac, and we lost Eazy-E in the 90s.
Man. Yeah, no, there's definitely loss. There's also, speaking of Bill Clinton, to go back to that one, the 94-93 crime bill that changed some of the sentencing practices that definitely broke up some families, and it was a war on drugs that turned out to be a war on urban communities. It also turned out to be a war on minorities. So yeah, a lot of things that shape today happen in the 90s, and for me, lots of memories, both good ones, bad ones, and ones that'll stay with me for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And later this month, I'll celebrate a birthday and do some reflecting about both the 90s, but also about this past year, which includes the Gregory Nisma Show turning 1 year old.
Don't forget about the 99s to the 2000s. Yeah. Thank you. 36 Mafia. Anyways, the Gregory Nisma Show, 1 year old. Thank you so much for sticking with us.
Yes, we appreciate you all, underdogs, my people, and even you occasional curious Trump supporters. With that, we're getting close to the big finish of the show.
Uninhibited?
Yes. Time for uninhibited.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh, I thought you were going to go to break first.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm going to take a quick break. Okay. I want to let folks know that that's what's coming up next. Uninhibited and then the big finish to the show. More of the Gregory Nisma Show after this break. Thank you. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show. And I my bad for the laughter, but literally we were just talking about a lot of us have email addresses. That first email address that you can't use today. You know, a whole lot of big this and sexy that and little, I mean, just stuff that would probably be not wise for your LinkedIn profile.
Big dog 007.
Underscore.
Not gonna say that number. 7 second delay.
Yes, you are welcome back, by the way.
We got 4 minutes for uninhibited. Stop wasting time.
No, we have three because remember we have to then.
Okay, can I get in here then?
I don't know the address.
For the high road. So I'm going to just take the side road and get my question answered.
Yes, it is time for Uninhibited and then the big finish to the show.
Yes. So Uninhibited, today we're talking about who's the winner? Who's the winner, right? And so we all know in relationships, it's about both people, hashtag winning. So what are some things that you do, Gregory, to make sure that your lady feels like a winner in all aspects? And what are some things that she can do to make you feel like you're a winner?
I would say one of the things that I do is I listen. I am one to often want to lend my support by making sure the woman feels heard, and also pull back from wanting to fix all the time or give unsolicited advice, and to be more of listen more than I talk. And then when, you know, she wants to know more or wants my advice, then I'm definitely willing to give it.
You hear that, ladies? Just tell him what you want and he'll make sure he listens. And how can she make you feel like a winner, Gregory?
I appreciate a woman that's supportive of the things that I am involved in. And yeah, so support.
Okay. So all Gregory needs is support. That's all.
Well, that's not all.
So if she
Let's
says,
be very clear.
That, if she that, says that, I'm not going to do this, but I'll support you, would you still feel like a winner?
Depends on how she's supporting me.
What ways do you like to be supported, Gregory? I don't even touch that. I have 13 more seconds.
You know, I believe, you know that saying, mind, body, and soul?
Mm-hmm.
I believe that I appreciate support for the mind, the body, and the soul.
Oh, what are some body support things?
They happen when intimacy.
Uh-huh. What are ways that you support her body?
It's almost time for the show.
I guess you're both winners. Okay. Yes. Thank you very much for another segment.
You know, I want to make sure that we all come through everything in a good way.
Okay. Because Gregory believes that there's two winners in every situation.
I can't find the address.
No. Just take the side road.
With that, we're coming to the end of the show. That was a good uninhibited.
Daryl says he likes it when a woman shows appreciation. That's so underrated.
Ooh, good use of the unword. And appreciation is a big, big deal.
Yes.
Both professionally and personally.
Yes.
It actually has been shown that it's one of the number one things missing in the workplace is just actually people feeling appreciated and saying thank you. And I'm sure the same thing can happen at home where people all of a sudden feel like taken for granted.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, tell the person you love, thank you.
And I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Lady.
And with that, underdogs, my people, and the occasional Trump supporters, we appreciate you.
We appreciate you guys.
Thank you for, as always, tuning into the show. Today's episode was, and the winner is, and if you miss any of the show, there's a podcast available on iTunes, Google Play, Podomatic. And for those who like to watch, there's a video replay on YouTube, because some people like to watch.
Some people really do like to watch, and we're both winners when we watch.
Yes, indeed. And shout out to all the folks who continue to download the podcast, because on Podomatic, we are in the top 100 in the society and culture category out of thousands of podcasts.
That's dope.
And with that, as always, I leave you with my favorite quote. Underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace. Thank you.